Hello, this is Jonathan Marks via PCJ Online, just about to push the button on another programme from the Media Network Vintage Radio Archives.
We present Episode 2 of The Hitchhiker's Guide to DXing by John Nathan, with Ian Disdains as the narrator.
The story so far. Shortwave listener Oliver Pass has won a holiday in the X1X anniversary competition held by Radio Banana in the Caribbean. On his way to the sunny country in a helicopter, he meets his fellow prize winner Drosophilus, and they both nearly meet their end as the helicopter is shot down by a Prussian over-the-horizon machine gun. After a bumpy landing, they find themselves in a meadow near a wood and head off towards the building through the trees in the hope of finding food and an idea of where they are. As they walk up the gravel path towards the huge concrete building in front of them, they're unexpectedly greeted by a charming hostess who's been sent out to meet them. She in turn introduces our two travellers to what appears to be the boss of this huge organisation. He delights in welcoming them to Polizania, the main broadcasting centre responsible for putting out most of the programmes heard on shortwave. Back in the late 80s, many international shortwave stations went bankrupt and sold their broadcasting rights to the tiny country of Polizania, which, thanks to a unique modulation system, can now put out most of the signals heard on shortwave. Oliver and Drosophilus have just set out on a tour of Radio Polizania, looking at the transmission room and the place where ideas are copied. But it's in the room where all the fading effects are put into shortwave broadcasts that the first problem arises for Oliver and Drosophilus.
What a fascinating place. I can't wait to write this up.
Oh, yes. And what makes you think you're leaving?
Well, you're not planning to keep us here. I mean, international hospitality is all very well, but we've got to go home sometime, you know.
Oh, yes. And what happens when you do go home, huh? You'll be on the phone to the newspapers and the DX Press faster than you can say caudal hop ionospheric propagation characteristics. Ooh, that's easier said after a few litres. We can't afford to have you blabbering about this to the press and spreading rumours. It'll upset the advertisers. We'll go bust and there'll be nothing on the air at all. But look on the bright side. You get a good living. All the privileges of being an international broadcaster. One programme a week, which you can tape weeks in advance if you like. And if you can't think of anything to say, well, you play a piece of music at the start of the programme, gradually fade it out, add a little white noise from the oscillator bank we keep in the basement, and all the listeners think the broadcast has been lost, thanks to trouble in the ionosphere. Works every time. And within 5 minutes of the start of your broadcast, you can switch everything off, jump on the bike, and a quarter of an hour later be talking to an attractive person in a bar, asking her whether she knows if it's now 8:30 in New Zealand. Great stuff. So if I were you, I'd relax, have a look at what's here, pick a job you fancy and get on with it. Don't try and get out. You'll never cross the border. And your pilot friend, by the way, decided to work in our antenna department just under 30 minutes ago. Escape is useless. But then, who would want to escape from this anyway?
Who indeed? It doesn't half go on. You got any bright ideas of how we're to get out?
I told you this was a daft idea to come here. No food, no help, and now this.
Oh, come on, concentrate. What are we going to do?
Well, I don't know what you're planning, but I want to stick around for a while. Let him show us the building first. That way we can get some idea of the layout and watch for possible escape routes as we go round. Besides, if they want to stop us leaving because of what we know already, just think of what other secrets must be here. Now I'm going to play it cool for the time being.
Oh, come on, don't look so dejected, you two. Anyway, it's about time I stopped talking and asked you what part of the building you think you might be interested in. Music library? Stamp sales? Management?
Hey, what about DX programs?
Eh?
You know, the listener contact stuff. Feed the listener a few times and frequencies, review a new receiver, that sort of thing.
Ah, come on, that doesn't come under programs anymore. Too routine. But if that's what you're interested in, you might like to meet the guy who runs it all now. If I remember rightly, he's got his office under the computer department. They gave him a few buckets of computer time to play with, and these days it's a bit of harmless fun. So we want to head for the 9th floor. Mind your head as you come through. Ooh, it's a pretty low ceiling, and I don't think the cleaners get this far very often. Oh, I hope he's in.
Come in! Come on in, come in, come in, and shut the door. It's drafty in here. Since we did that telephone program to Australia, the blasted management have started compensating by turning down the thermostat. Oh, it's you, Mr. Erbauker.
Oh, call me Dick, please. May I call you Fergus?
No, you may not. The name's McFungus, and familiarity breeds contempt. That's what my wee dear mammy said, and I'm forced to agree. Now, who are these two? New members of the accounts department wondering how they can reduce my salary even more.
Well, they are recruits, but not from accounts. Actually, they're rather interested in your section, Mr. McFungus. DX programs wasn't... sorry, isn't it?
I see you're planning to replace me, are you? Well, through luck, I've already been replaced by this.
A refrigerator?
Fools everybody, doesn't it? They laughed at me when I first came here. I was the simple Scotsman who did the DX shows and enjoyed a wee dram. But since the oil ran out and people have started to travel by shortwave again, our department's become more important. But because the oil went, stations reduced power and eventually switched them off, leaving it to us, since we'd brought the broadcasting rights, to put out their DX programs. It's a tall task, and that's why I worked quietly in here for just under 3.5 years and built this microprocessor unit. Luckily, there aren't so many DX shows about these days, so it was easy to program.
I've got to see this. Are you going to show us how it works?
No, I will not. You can do it for yourself. You just press this part of the panel on the front of the unit here, and out comes an ordinary computer terminal keyboard. It's an old model, I'm afraid, but it's more reliable than these new-fangled type machines that work on brainwaves. You have one passing thought about what's in the canteen for lunch, and the letter you're trying to compose turns into a recipe book. Now, keep to the old stuff. Now, all you have to do is to feed in the name of the program and then make up the show using the stock phrases in the computer memory.
I suppose this thing prints out a script, does it? You get someone to read it in the studio?
No, it prints out a program and records the whole thing onto a cassette tape. We set the speech synthesizers just before the real programs went off the air. It only took an afternoon. Right, now think of a DX program.
Okay. Sweden calling DXS.
Okay, now, type that onto the keyboard and then put the letters run after it. And as soon as you do that, you'll hear the synthesized program start on this little wee monitor speaker here.
W-E-D-E-N, Sweden calling DXS run.
Welcome to edition number 5963.7 of Sweden Calling DXers. And before we begin, the usual reminder that all times are in akti.
And that's not Sweden Calling DXers.
Ah, yes it is, but we've set the wrong voice. Now, if I punch in WOOD, it should start again.
We would also like to thank Richard Marsh for sending in his computer printout with the tips for today's program. So, here we go.
Ah, very impressive, I'm sure. OK, if it's so good, let's hear McFarlane do his proper show, then.
I'll just punch it in.
DX Digest.
Hi there, and welcome to the 1930 UTC release of today's DX Digest. In a few moments, your daily dose of digital DX tips. But first, here's some news on the joint NARC-EDXC meeting being held in June... Or is it July or possibly August? Unfortunately, the organizing club is still arguing over that, but no matter when it's being held, it'll be held on Dissension Island.
McFarland. It's a good Scotch name. I always like programming that one myself.
Now what you do? Doesn't it just run itself until the end?
No. You have to compile the program yourself from the regular features in the store. Look, if you want him to start looking at technical mail, you type in T-E-C-H.
Time now to dip into the technical mailbag and a tip from a listener in Hawaii on how to repair photo-etched printed circuit boards on the 5001.
And what's this button-marked crosstalk?
Well, that's probably the best part of the whole device. You use it for making interviews and fake hookups. You can either get this...
And finally, tonight, let's bring in George Wood of Sweden Calling DXers and ask him what it's like to be on the DX Digest.
Or you can swap it around and do it the other way.
And finally tonight, let me bring in Ian McFarland of Radio Canada International's DX Digest. Ian, what do you feel is the future for program schedule collectors?
So that's why everyone is on everyone else's program. But I can't follow why listeners haven't spotted this ages ago. Mm. Look, if I'm listening around to a shortwave radio station, particularly a DX program, I think I'd start complaining very quickly if I hear the same thing week after week.
No, would you? There are still people explaining things like images and front-end overloading on DX programs long after most radio sets went over to quad.
Quadraphonic? Come on, I haven't heard proper mono from those signals, let alone quadraphonic.
No, quad conversion. Even the cheap Liechtenstein sets have got that now. The great thing is, with so many people getting into shortwave again since satellite television failed, we can start rerunning old programs. Now, this wee box has a 6 megabyte memory. The average listener wouldn't remember a feature he heard 2 years ago, so you just run him over and over. The only thing you have to do is change the DX news, and that all comes from the projects department.
So not only do you generate most of the shortwave signals, you can put a few rare DX ones on as well. Gee!
It's boring after a while. Hey, would you like some coffee? I think the trolley's just passing the corridor upstairs.
Not for me, thanks.
No. Oh, yes. I'll have one if you're going.
One lump or two?
I make it 7.
It's coffee, you know, not golden syrup. Anyway, I'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Wow. Did you ever imagine this?
Pokey, isn't it? Girl. Imagine working in a place like this. Little workbench over there. Dusty carpet on the floor with a design you could describe as tape rust stains and solder burns on an off-white background. Bad lighting. Draft.
A draft? There are no windows.
Well, you can't feel it under your sweater, but there's a current of air coming from underneath that cupboard door. Over there, in the corner next to the workbench.
Yes, you're right. Perhaps it's a fire escape. No, it's locked.
Yeah, let me try. I don't think it's locked. Just stiff. Come on, let's both push the door. A storeroom of some kind.
Complete with light switch. Full of shelves with cardboard boxes. But where's the draft coming from? Come on, you're the one who can feel it. Let's get out of here. I'm getting claustrophobic. Come on!
Oh, BFO. You're the one who wants to get out so fast. Take your time. Everybody's friendly at the moment. Let's stick around.
Oh, you can talk. You've got a wife and kids to look after. To you, all this is a perfect holiday away from them. But for me, they will think I've been kidnapped or something.
You have? But who's they, anyway?
The Foreign Affairs Department.
Ah, so you're government, are you? What were you doing on the Radio Banana prize trip in the first place, then?
Oh, I just entered like anyone else through my hobby.
Sounds more like a spy errand to me.
The world is full of spies of one persuasion or another. It's just an advantage to be on the winning side. And leave those boxes alone. If we get caught stealing things, we've had it.
Not stealing. Looking. Look at these.
I'll put it back. And let's get back to the DX room.
Gee, cool. This is really way out. A matchbox-size integrated circuit. The ultimate black box with 8 legs. But I thought the idea of the black box silicon chips was to make everything much smaller.
Must be a massive sort of computer that uses a memory chip that size.
Looks just like the advertisements boasting about new technology. The wonder chip going to revolutionise your home. Ta-ra!
What have you done now?
I just shook it. And it started playing this music. Hey, here's another one. You shake it this time.
Who would make a thing like this?
Well, the Duo Corporation of Japan. I see you found the archives then. And I found the coffee. Sorry, it's only 5 lumps, I'm afraid. The sugar bowl was nearly empty.
Thanks. But What do you mean by archives? Looks more like a warehouse for an electronics shop.
Oh, come along now. We're not living in the 20th century, are we? You must have seen blasters before. Obviously not. Well, it was all started by a Japanese free radio enthusiast. He heard about the free radio campaign and naturally wrote in and asked them for a free radio. And then he discovered they weren't going to give him one. So he founded the Duo Company to make free radios to give away to listeners.
Yes, but how can you make money giving away free radios?
Sponsors! Advertising! Some lad is so proud of his radio station, he can find enough people to back him financially, that he pays the Duo Corporation to manufacture cheap transistor radios that are programmed only to receive the sponsor station. IC technology means you can mass-produce millions very quickly and give away a free transistor radio with the cornflakes or the porridge. There was a craze on DX programs once, and that's what all these are, boxes of high-technology transistor radios. The trouble was, Duo put a memory unit into the radio set so you could listen to the programs at any time of day or night. But they forgot to incorporate an erase button, and once the memory's full, the radio gets stuck and plays old material.
But those DX programs like TX Jukebox went off the air ages ago.
Ach, no, but I'm running an archive series at the moment.
Have you finished with them, Fergus? Mr. McFungus?
They've seen just about everything.
Including the line room?
No, unless they found it while I was getting the coffee.
No, I wouldn't want to work there. Phoning up radio correspondents all day?
Ah, you silly laddie, they phone you.
DXs, he means. Let's go back to the DX computer.
Line booking? Why should anyone want to book a line to a radio station?
Oh, all sorts of reasons. For example, you might want to get a personalised copy of the DX News. The Swedes pioneered it. Look, tap SCDX closing into the microcomputer, and you'll get...
And with that, we come to the end of Sweden Calling DXers for today. If there's anything you missed, then remember, we have all the usual landline facilities if you dial us up on your terminal and ask for bulletin number 5963.7. For now, take care.
Is this really very popular? I mean, DX clubs still manage with the magazines through the post.
By jingo, you really are out of touch. They may still have postal services where you were born, but most DX clubs send their bulletins via computer printouts now. Much cheaper, and of course the sponsors own the landlines anyway.
But who'd want to sponsor a DX club?
Oh, all sorts of people. Receiver manufacturers, betting agencies are now involved thanks to the unpredictability of the ionosphere, and sweepstakes for the verification ladders. They were started thanks to a loophole in the European DX Council statutes.
Oh, really? If I remember rightly, it seemed perfectly okay to me. Now, a DXer must be able to prove that he or she has served the allotted number of countries by producing evidence of verification before any award may be issued.
Right. So you've only got to hear them, right? That's where the landline comes in again. Since there's no big money to be won in the DX ladders, those who want to get to the top quickly book a landline to the radio station they're interested in. They listen long enough for a reception report and post off for a QSL. You're supposed to declare it, of course, when you apply for an award. I think they knock off a few points, but since we're in the landline business, we don't ask questions.
Well, the girls shut up shop in about half an hour, so we'd better pop down there now. Mind your head again as you go out, won't you?
Oh, you two again. I hear you've decided to stay with us.
Oh, is that so? We're just looking around at the moment.
Well, I shouldn't stay here. It's too routine. Every time the phone rings, it's one of five stations most of them are looking for. Good afternoon, Landline Facilities Incorporated. No, I'm afraid Tristan da Cunha is off the air at the moment, so we can't connect you. But what about the Cook Islands? They've got the same rating, and the tariff to them is cheaper. So, well, if you've got that one, what about a... Cocos Keeling Islands? $1.50 a minute, sir. OK, if you're ready with your tape recorder, we'll connect you in 10 seconds. Stand by.
Are you really going to connect them to the Cockers?
Come off it. It all comes from a tape machine. How are they to know?
Hello, everybody. Adrian Redman with you on Radio VKW, the voice of the Cocos Keeling Islands in the Indian Ocean. I'm good to be with you.
Pretty unethical to me.
Who cares about ethics?
They get to hear the station they ask for.
And we send them a landline bill that's so large it must be genuine. It's an excellent income, mind you, And every now and then we set up a pirate tape or a rare station on a place like Easter Island, and then the calls come flooding in.
Ah, there you are, Dick. I've been looking all over the building for you. You got a couple of minutes?
No, sorry, not at the moment. I'm showing guests around.
Oh, sorry. By the way, the name is Van Amstel. Pleased to meet you.
I'm sure I know that name. Didn't you used to do the Media Network program?
Still do, though of course it's all pre-programmed stuff now. I don't know about you, but I prefer the old days when there were real technical questions. What are images? What sort of antenna can I build? Nowadays it's all about lengthening the life of solar cells and programming the memory of your receiver. Kid stuff.
Must confess I haven't heard the program for ages now. I only tuned in for the DX report.
Well, yeah, project department look after that now. They decide together with the DX reporters what's going to be heard. Then transmitter engineering air the fading and put them on the air. Boring once you know how it's done.
Yes, just as bad as our news service.
Since man first learned to talk, people have been interested in news, in particular bad news. Nobody seems to care when things go right. It's the things that go wrong that appeal to the radio listener and television viewer. And as communication satellites improved, both their reliability and capacity, so it became possible to follow events thousands of miles away at the touch of a button. Local radio did its share in helping the popularity of international shortwave stations. As more local radio sprang up, so the news concentrated more and more on events in the neighbourhood. Only the shortwave listeners could follow international events as the famous national radio networks went slowly bankrupt through lack of advertising and state funds. In Politania, which now, of course, has a huge news department to write bulletins for so many international stations they were replacing, things varied from very active to half asleep.
Is there anything coming up on the telex, Barry?
Oh, not that I can see.
Oh, blimey, bulletin in half an hour. Well, I'm not running yesterday's bulletin again, I'll tell you. We did that once already this week because David couldn't be bothered to change Sunday's bulletin. I suppose we can still use that Pope story.
Oh, hold on. I think there's something on a telex.
Eh?
Let me see. The quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog.
You what?
The quick brown fox. Oh, it's repeating itself.
Oh, never mind that now. We can use that as a small item at the end of the bulletin. Hi, let's see. Shock surprise to international hunting party as agile foxes seem to leap over hounds in lethargic pursuit.
Yes, but this broadcast is going to Asia.
Where? Oh, aye. Well, make it an Afghan hound, then. We'll have to bring insects into it somehow and all. Fox. Fox, hang on. Fox. Foxy. Aye, female fox, perhaps.
Oh, I think I'd better check to see if the commentary section is something. If they can spin out some story, then we'll cut the bulletin a bit.
Got anything yet? How about this? Great capital investment by the imperialist powers in new construction projects assists the determination of the Allies without interference to other countries with different social systems.
Sounds impressive, but what does it mean?
Who cares? I got it from a Prussian bulletin from last week and changed the word order. 35 seconds long, and that's just the title. Now, if we repeat it at the end of the piece, we're talking about 1 minute 10 seconds out of a 6 minute commentary already.
All right, then, but we'll need it in less than 20 minutes.
Oh, don't worry. If we really do get stuck for words, we'll look up an old one in the crisis file and fill in the new country name.
Good. See you soon, then.
Right, well, you got anything, then?
No, nothing really worth mentioning.
Nothing at all? Right, it's about time we made some. Hang on a minute. Good. Hello, is that the Paris Palace, isn't it? Palace Press Office. Good, yes. Yeah, now, the Politania newsroom here, yes. Look, I wonder whether you could help me. We've been receiving unconfirmed reports this afternoon that the Prince has been seen escorting Lady Margaret this past Tuesday, and that an engagement may be imminent. Now, do you have any comment on this? Is that so? Well, it's a good job we spoke to you, isn't it? Right, yes, thank you very much indeed. Goodbye. Well, there you are. There's one we can run as a top story. Backs of human interest and all, that one. I can just see the headline. Palace denies rumour that Prince is actively courting Lady Margaret and that an engagement is on the cards. A Palace spokesman said these allegations were unfounded and that a meeting was supposed to take place 2 days ago, but it didn't in fact take place at all, etc, etc, etc. Well, that's not bad, is it, eh? Right, Barry, have you got the weather forecast?
Yes, but this is just as vague. Tomorrow will be unsettled with sunny periods and a few isolated showers, which may be heavy in certain places, and the possibility of thunder. On higher grounds, the rain may fall as sleet or snow, and temperatures tomorrow between minus 30 and plus 30 centigrade, and the outlook changeable.
Oh, we can't go wrong then, can we? Now, I note a nice adaptable story in the newspaper under the nude on page 7. Oh, I've changed the paragraph order and made an intro, but quite frankly, we're a bit short of voices at present.
Well, we may solve that problem in about 10 seconds. Huh? There are visitors coming down the hall.
Oh, bags of hush then, eh?
Hello, Bill.
Hello, Dick. Hello, hello, hello. What's this? They're new recruits, is it?
The sort.
Newsroom recruits?
That depends.
Yeah, typical. You know, when I started in international broadcasting, we had the pyramid system of operating the station. Lots of people at the bottom, mate, on the programme production floor, a few managers led by one director general at the top. Then it gradually changed upside down to the Delta system with lots of people in the management but one man at the bottom doing all the perishing work. Now we've got the mushroom system. They leave you working completely in the dark and then every now and then someone opens the door and slings a load of muck at you. Absolutely typical, mate, typical.
The news bulletin there, Bill, come on.
You what? Oh. Now, you, instead of just watching, I want you to go into that room over there, dial the number 340, you got that? 340, and read this little bit of paper. Have you got that?
Now?
Yes, mate, now, if it's not too much trouble. Right. Well, come over to this side of the room and we'll get ready to record the correspondence report.
Do you have to work around the clock?
Aye, well, some of us have to, you know. We make up a central news bulletin in English and send it upstairs, where we translate it into about 100 different languages. It then goes to the station editor, who may have to rewrite the bulletin depending on which station is being transmitted. Some have to throw a few imperialists and other suitable nouns into the news, while others change our wills and haves into mays and believed to bees and all that sort of thing. It's all basically the same stuff, though. Oh, excuse me a minute. Have you read the piece? Good. Now listen, I want you to read it into the telephone. No, I don't care what it says, I'm only asking you to read it. Now, goodness knows, man, it's simple enough. In 5 seconds, then, and we'll switch to the monitor speaker, right?
Well, here in downtown New Delhi, the crowds are somewhat hostile to the visit of Foreign Minister Prince. His arrival has stirred up old feelings against the present political situation. Mr. Prince was met at the City Hall by the Mayor of New Delhi.
No, I'll be all right.
Is this standard practice, then?
Well, it's standard practice when you can't afford a telephone line or a correspondent in New Delhi. Either you do this, or you can start an old tape in a foreign language like, well, Serbo-Croat or Swahili. Fade it after a few seconds and then read an entirely different report, which is really supposed to be a translation. You know, it makes you sound as though you have bags of correspondence everywhere, and very few people spot what you've done.
I say, was that okay?
I certainly hope so. Anyway, there's no chance to check, so it'll have to be. I'll take it straight down to the news studio now. See you around, everybody. Oh, Dick, I'd still like a word if you can just step outside a moment, eh?
Right. I'll be back in a couple of seconds. You can listen to the bulletin go out if you like.
It's now or never. Let's sidle over to the other exit from this newsroom, make our way upstairs past that DX room and get out of here.
I thought you were the one who wanted to stick around. You sure know the way.
Positive.
Will our two heroes escape from Radio Politania in time? Or will they be forced to work in the programme scheduled dispatch section? Why was Mr. McFungus so sure they weren't living in the 20th century? And is Oliver really so positive he knows the way? Find out in Episode 3 of The Hitchhiker's Guide to DXing.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to DXing is produced in stereo in the studios of Radio Netherlands in Hilversum, Holland.
any resemblance of the characters portrayed to real persons, either alive or actively DXing, is purely coincidental.
Today's program was first broadcast in 1982. The series has been repeated after many listeners' requests, and you can hear the following episode at the same time next week. Our media network, Communications Current Affairs Magazine, starts a new season on October 25th.
I've been doing some listening between 3 and 30 megawatts. Some people get static. Some people get far-off countries. I just get a headache.
Serving the universe from Flevo, Radio Netherlands, with relays in Russia, Bonaire, and Madagascar. Any questions?
And that's where we end this nostalgic trip back into the Media Network audio archives from 1981 to October 2000. If you find all this stuff interesting, you might want to explore the Critical Distance website, where you can find more vintage audio shows, but also peruse recent video interviews I've made in the course of my travels around the world. Some of the videos actually follow up on points raised in the Media Network programme. So zip over to www.jonathanmarks.com for more details. In the meantime, this is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.